A quick little note from Auntie Sarah before we get started on this amazing episode. There were some audio issues during the recording, so please keep that in mind. I am aware, and consider it a little bit of podcast Mad Libs at points. It's a great conversation, and thank you for your understanding. Hashtag new audio, perhaps. Enjoy. Karen Huger is the grand dame, but this dame is bringing venti sass. It's so bad. It's not my best. It's not my best. Happy Monday.
Well, I've got the word on the streets, and boy, they pop it. From what I just heard, it's the end for Emeka and Robin.
Wait. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 530 something, and I'm hearing new news that one of my favorite guests, who's back today, the king has returned, said right before we started recording, he said, you know, I said, have you heard the news? Essentially meaning, have you heard about Alexia and Todd, but also Robin, LOL. And this guest said, yes, and also NECA. And I said, what's going on? This is going to be news to me. This is the joy of a Monday just filled with twists and turns, recording early in the day, and it feels like everything is happening all at once. So I am so excited to have someone who is the expert in breaking down breaking news. So welcome back to Andy's Girls, news and entertainment journalist and pop culture expert, Richie Sky. Richie, how are we?
Great. Another Monday filled with chaos.
I mean, it was like Robin announces she was fired. Alexia and Todd are getting a divorce. And now something's happening with NECA. So I feel like we have to get into it. Can we start with the NECA news first? Because I don't know anything that you're about to say. So this is truly a genuine shock, but let me know what's going on.
Honestly, it was a shock to me as well. I was actually premiering my recap of The Real Housewives of Potomac, and I'm looking at the live chat, and I'm getting notifications that the Jasmine brand has announced that NECA has been fired from the show. So I go to check the Jasmine brand. The Jasmine brand is a source that I completely trust because they were also the first to report that Robin had been fired a few weeks ago. And now it turns out that that is true. So with that bit of history there and that sort of knowledge, and I just trust the Jasmine brand. They are saying that she is allegedly not returning. So I'm kind of shocked by that because I felt like I didn't think that she had the best introduction, and I felt like she was sort of set up for failure from the start, and we didn't really get the opportunity to really maybe get to know her in the way that we probably should have gotten to know her. She lived in Potomac. She had the credentials. They were looking at her for Married to Medicine, DC, and there's a part of me that's not wanting it to be true because I did feel like we could have We were almost at a place where we could have really gotten to know who she was. And maybe there could have been some inroads for her and Wendy to come out in a better place in the next season.
I mean, I have to tell you, I really am surprised. I might not have been surprised mid-season. I think I probably was saying things, including on AG, that like I thought she might be one and done, but I thought she had a really solid reunion. It was a terrible reunion, but I thought she did well. I mean, I rewatched it this morning, so truly the ultimate sacrifice to refresh myself on what the fuck that shit show was. But I just really honestly, I was posting on social that like, LOL, I'm rewatching Potomac. Someone save me from this. But the reason I wanted to rewatch it was specifically about Dr. Wendy and NECA. Because I recorded just a triage style reaction last night after watching it the first time. And I just felt kind of weird about Dr. Wendy after recording, after kind of thinking about it, because she was stone faced and stonewalling in a way that to me was not dissimilar from what Giselle was doing. And I feel like I didn't hold Dr. Wendy accountable enough. So then I'm watching it this morning because I was like, yeah, NECA is extending the olive branch and Dr. Wendy is not giving her a single fucking thing.
Honestly, I said the same thing in my recap. As you were talking, viewers can't see my face, but I was like nodding profusely because I felt the same. I felt like, just from a production standpoint, though I'm not a producer, I can only imagine, right? So for me, it did feel like NECA came into the reunion with very much an idea that she was going to be contrite and try to make some headway with Wendy. What I got from Wendy was, the most you're going to ever get from me is that I will be cordial enough with you to get along for this show. And to a certain degree, the reality behind the reality is that in real life, if you call my mother a witch, I'm never going to speak to you again. That's the facts. But because this is reality television, that does not make for a good show. So some of the realness in the reality has to be suspended so that you guys can get back to some place where at least this feels like some level of a sisterhood, as Andy stated in the beginning of the reunion and right at the end of the reunion. And to see Wendy kind of, again, it was not so much her words, but it was her demeanor that made it feel to me that NECA never really would understand another chance with her. And I didn't feel good about that because I feel like Wendy is better than that for the show purpose. Let me state it that way. Because I can understand there will be people who say, you talk about my mom, I'm never speaking to you again. I get it in real life. I totally get it. But for the sake of the show, this is what the show is about. These women say crazy things about each other, but somehow find their way back to each other. Or at least that's what we want to see. And if it is no longer that, then it no longer needs to be a show. And what I will say is, I'm going to contrast this with Salt Lake City. Those Salt Lake City ladies have said everything under the sun about each other. But at the cost of one common denominator, Monica, they, at least at the end, rally together in some form of, this is a sisterhood and these are our boundaries. And you've crossed way too many of them. They found that connection again, regardless of how they did it, but they found that their way back to each other in some way, shape, or form that at least two of you could feel like, oh, yeah, okay, so the gang is back together. We don't get that at this reunion.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're making so many completely spot on points. And I feel like with Dr. Wendy, she could have presented a little bit of compartmentalization, because putting aside the mom of it all sensitivities with their culture, Osu, none of which I am in any way, none of which I really have any authority or interest in speaking about. But there was a question of, like, do you know her? Obviously, she was not thrilled about NECA joining the cast. She went into this whole, I don't know her, which means I don't know of her thing, versus, like, we met at a benefit or a cocktail event, whatever. Putting all that aside, there were questions about whether or not Dr. Wendy deputized her family members to have conversation with NECA's family about NECA joining the show, and the fact that there was a level of upset maybe about the idea that NECA would join, and maybe a feeling of competitiveness or I don't know, sensitivity about how that might impact Dr. Wendy's own role. But none of that was covered because it became attached to this other thing, which it felt like Dr. Wendy had a vested interest in combining, because then we don't have to get into the, like, wait, did a phone call take place? Because Dr. Wendy said it didn't. NECA said it did, either it did or didn't, but we didn't even go near any of it because everything else around this was so fucked. So I'm like, wait a second, we didn't even get back into one of NECA's issues here because of the way that it was spoken about on the show, the way that Dr. Wendy responded, and the way that I think production and obviously Andy at the reunion like completely fucked it up. So it all became a part of this thing where Andy's like, here's my prepared statement from production being like, we didn't want to use this as entertainment, even though every episode used it as entertainment. We're just relying on what the, you know, the women are filming themselves with their own cameras and they're saying action and cut and there's nobody else involved. So if you like what we're doing, maybe you could tweet Bravo Mazel Tov, but otherwise... it's really on the women. We're not in any control. We're just voyeurs. We're just witnesses waiting for our own statement to God. Like, it just was so, it was such a fucking shit show. But I'm like, we couldn't even have that moment? I don't know.
I think you made several great points. I mean, obviously, you know, as they say, as he said, that production didn't really understand the sensitivity of it. I mean, I think one only needs to, I don't know, pick up Google. I mean, and if you flash an article on the screen, that means you have access to read the article. So then you would know. Other also, too, Ashley very astutely pointed out that it was brought to her attention once before, and then it was brought to her attention conveniently again, right before meeting NECA. Who brought it to her attention? That's the question I would have liked to have had answered, although I don't know that that would have worked for the television of it all. Then the other thing that you mentioned was, you know, Wendy and sort of like conflating these issues. I think that I wish, having thought about it, I wish Wendy had said to NECA, you know, I will accept your apology, but as a counter to that, I would like for you to get to know my mother. Because that would at least put NECA and her family in a situation where they were all forced to come together in some way, shape, or form, address the finery of it all, which I know that we won't really dive into, but that would at least, I feel like, go towards some way of healing. And to show that, I think would have been a very nice way of saying, NECA gets to know Wendy's family, Wendy gets to know hers. How do we move? We can move forward from here. And I think there was one other thing that you touched on that I really wanted to drive home about the Wendy and NECA situation. I cannot remember what it was because you touched on so many like great points that I was like literally agreeing with that I just kind of feel like, you know, there was for me. Oh, this is what it was. You know, Wendy came into the show knowing Karen. But Karen didn't, quote, know Wendy, or perhaps remember her. So I guess there was a level of disappointment for me with Wendy because this has happened to her when she was introduced on the show. So why then, why allow that to happen to someone else? Because you experienced that yourself. So I just was confused by that.
Yeah, I do, though, think with like the family stuff that that's probably too vulnerable for Dr. Wendy at this point. Like, I would honestly understand if she was like, yeah, after what's been said, I don't think I need my mom to like be in front of the cameras in this way, in any way talking about this stuff, because obviously it was very clear that she did not in any way want to address it. So like a Whitney Rose style healing journey is, I think, a great idea in theory, but I don't think, because then it would be so focused on the culturally sensitive conversation, which obviously there's a lot of understandable discomfort around, as opposed to like, hey, was there a phone call made? Which also there's a lot of discomfort around. So I don't know how you move forward. But to me, again, it's similar to Candace and Giselle, where it's like, actually, in this way, it's probably not similar. But I felt like NECA's also newest to the show. She sort of has the most to lose. You have breaking news. What just happened?
I'm breaking news.
Giselle's out? What? Am I out of Potomac? Like what? Who's out now?
Candace Dillard Bassett announced that she's expecting her first with her husband, Chris Bassett.
That is why my phone was ringing. That is why my phone was ringing. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy for her. And of course, she wouldn't want to be anywhere near Giselle during this important and vulnerable time. I mean, mazel tov to Candace and Chris. Candace, at some point, if you do want to, I know I blocked you first, but if you do want to unblock me, because I can't, after I unblocked you, you still have them. I would love to say mazel tov. Like, that's wonderful. That's wonderful news. We've been watching her journey and fertility journey on Potomac. And it explains an awful, she has valid reason of putting herself on pause regardless of this. But that to me is like, yes, that makes a whole lot of sense of like why she would not want to engage with, I don't know, 60% of the cast at this point. That makes a lot of sense.
And it, you know, it's sad because I said I felt like it felt like an unsafe environment for both Wendy and Candace, to be quite honest with you. And so now to see the news, everything makes so much more sense. But it's sad because typically the network loves a pregnancy story. And they love that aspect of Housewives. I think the viewers love that aspect of Housewives. So the fact that at this point in time, it didn't feel safe for her to have this moment with this particular group of women, I think it's very telling of exactly how bad it really got.
I wonder if there would be any interest in a little bit of a baby special. Lord knows Dorothy's got a lot of content. I mean, sit with her for a few minutes and that's three episodes.
Very true.
I wonder. Although I would understand if Candace was like, no, I don't want cameras anywhere near me. I don't want to have any kind of toxicity. But that would be, I know it would be dramatic. We're talking about Candace. That would be interesting if they did a little bit of a following Candace's journey moment, keeps her on Bravo. Maybe it could be a Peacock thing, keeps her on Bravo. And then maybe the pause is over for, you know, season 10. We're skipping 9. And we're going straight into the future. I could see it, maybe.
And I think also, too, it's like, I'm going to go ahead and say it. We talked about, I felt like the show wasn't emotionally a safe space for her or Wendy, but physically as well. I mean, let's just talk about the fact that you have someone like a Deborah who is lurking in the periphery. You know what I'm saying? Waiting in the wings to confront her. For certain that not only mental and physical safety probably plays a big part in it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think, I think that there are a lot of reasons why Candace was upset and feeling like she wasn't protected. But speaking of that protection, what was your reaction to the way that altercation was discussed, starting with Ashley? Ashley's thoughts, Mia's thoughts on Candace's response to being confronted by Deborah.
You know, Ashley to me is like, this is hard for me to say because I know her in real life. On the show, let me just say this.
Okay.
Ashley is slippery on the show, right? I feel like Ashley kind of is able to she's slick as oil. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be able to grab her. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, her telling us that her friend has said, oh, I want to make things right. You know, I've said it on my podcast. I mean, I feel like if you bring a friend to my event and your friend gets into a fight, I'm still blaming you. The reason why is because if it weren't for you, that person would not have been at my event. Actually, there was really no accountability there for her bringing someone who has had that type of energy with the cat. And the fact that Mia also co-signed that, I think it said a lot too. Like, oh, she was running around trying to confront everyone. So either Ashley is telling tall tales or Deborah was telling tall tales. Regardless, Ashley, you don't know your friend as well as you thought that you did. That's number one. Number two, you know, again, I know Mia as well. So, and Mia in real life is honestly, I have to tell you, she's beautiful, gorgeous. I mean, she's fun, she's vivacious, she is caring. I think she's the type of person that if you need a friend, she's going to be there. However, I did think it was either a moment of growth or a very odd, ironic moment for her to tell Candace that, you know, even though I de-escalated the situation with Deborah, you have to sort of learn how to do the same because you have more to lose. It's true. That is the truth. She does have more to look in the context of, you know, television and these sorts of things and being in the public eye. However, I think the issue that we have is that if Deborah came in with a mission, we don't know if whatever Candace responded with, we don't know what Deborah would have done next regard. I don't know. It's a difficult situation when you have someone in your face out of the blue and this person just towering over you and you don't know what they're going to do. And clearly now we know that you might throw a drink at me. You might throw something at me. So this is an odd one for me. And because we couldn't physically see the beginning of the altercation, it's really hard to tell. But I think to blame Candace running her mouth about, you know, Deborah, I honestly feel like it takes two to tango situation. Because if Deborah is going to make accusations about Candace, what would she expect Candace to do in retaliation? Say something back about her. So I just feel like Deborah's a wild card here and Ashley should have known better.
It's interesting that Giselle thought Dr. Wendy was more responsible than Ashley, let's say, about what took place. That was a wild fucking moment to me. I think with the Deborah of it all, like, from Ashley's perspective, she's saying, well, Deborah told me that she wanted to, you know, air things out or whatever with Candace. If I was Ashley and I was LOL against something hot happening, I would have probably counseled my friend not to do that. If I didn't want a situation, talk about de-escalation. If I didn't want a situation to take place at my like magical, phenomenal fashion moment, I mean like Joan Rivers, if only she was still with us, please God, but she's looking down on us and she's cackling. Like if I didn't want something to happen at my event and I knew because I LOL watched the show and was also allegedly on it, I would probably say, man, I don't think that's a great idea because I know what you've said about these people and their spouses. So let's not do that unless I wanted something to happen. It's like, know your audience. Everyone knows how Candace has responded about Deborah. Why would anyone think? Nobody thought that Candace would handle Deborah coming over to her well. So why would you ensure that that happens by including her? Like it's a nuts thing for Ashley to mention. That was wild to me. Like this person told you she wanted to discuss, like let's be as like positive and strategic about this as possible. Discuss. Quote unquote, discuss, not the language she used, but discuss. Didn't hear an apology in any of that. You want to air things out about shit that Deborah started and then continued to stir up and leverage. I'm not hearing her walking over and saying on bended knee, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for what I said, because obviously the edit is showing I was talking out of my ass. None of that was a part of it. It was, oh, I just want to like clear the air or whatever. Like, go fuck yourself. Nobody believes that. Ashley is a producer like anybody else. And on this cast, there are so many spiritual producers. I don't even know what to do. It's just, It's a wild moment that's so obviously, it's not entirely truthful. And that is frustrating in this because everybody's presenting their opinion as like, well, I'm just saying this because it's all about responsibility here. But the responsibility is very, very specific. And it's frustrating to see that specificity be used against Candace, Deborah, LOL, like even a little 3%, Dr. Wendy, and Kay. Like that's nuts to me. That's a nuts opinion.
But not surprising. You know, something that Wendy said in that moment was, there you go again, making blanket statements. And then I just go back to all of the blanket statements that Giselle has made over the years. And I'm just kind of like, this falls right in line with what she's used to doing. You know, in season 5, it was that Monique's child was not, that Chris wasn't the father. Then it was, oh, Wendy got her body done because Eddie was allegedly out in the streets doing whatever. That was insecurity. Then it was that, oh, Chris made me feel uncomfortable. But then also conflating that with, oh, he was a sneaky link and wanted to see if I was with it last season. Then sort of walking that aspect of it back only to this season, then say, he forced me into a hotel room. And then when it's brought to her attention that she actually said that, oh, my bad. I just made me ask. Like, the danger to me in her statements over the course of time, especially noticing the pattern, I don't understand how she is still on a reality show, the same franchise wherein Phaedra allegedly told Portia that Candy wanted to take her down to the dungeon and do things to her. Phaedra was not asked back. Though the network clearly loves Phaedra, you know, but it, that could be a thing of time heals all wounds. I don't know. But what I'm saying is there's a level of danger to the things that Giselle does that I think that everybody is being really, really flippant about, because it extends into a realm that is no longer entertainment.
I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Andy's Girls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today.
Yeah, and yet it's hard because the conversation seems to exist in the universe of like Candace goes too far with her words and her derogatory insults, and then that's it. The question is either does she go too far or not? And I do think she goes too far at times. I think she has said horrifying things about members of her cast, oftentimes on social media, but we don't continue that same exact conversation about other members of the cast. Maybe not even did they go too far, but were they held accountable? You could argue that Candace has been held accountable multiple times by members of her cast and by Andy for going too far with using baiting derogatory language. Absolutely. But has Giselle, like nobody in the cast is really willing to hold her accountable for that because oftentimes they remove themselves. Like Monique left. Monique was like, gotta go. No more of this for me. With Candace, Candace is now leaving. She's like, there's no point. So what is happening here? Like, Giselle is encouraged to be Giselle because we don't see any pushback from Andy, not even a little bit. And members of the cast, sort of when they try to, it just doesn't go anywhere because there's no one backing them up. So I'm just left with Giselle, who's just like tired at this point. She's so above it. She was so arrogant and self-centered during the reunion. She just didn't feel at the end when Andy's saying, does anybody, maybe this was the edit, but when Andy was like, does anybody have anything to apologize to? She's throwing her hair back. Like, this is a joke. The fact that nobody, and by nobody, I mean Andy, and by Andy, I mean Andy, but also like producers, whomever's framing the narrative for this. He's just reading from the card at a certain point and asking follow-ups. The fact that nobody thought Giselle needed to be held accountable at any point, or thought that she did but knew they wouldn't get anywhere. Like, the fact that this woman is going to stay in this position on the show, I mean, it's annoying. The idea of Giselle being fired, like, makes me physically ill because she's been such an incredible housewife. But also, what the fuck is she doing there? Does she deserve a check for the way that she's behaving or the way that she's not? You can't tell me she was trying during the reunion. She was completely tapped out. Is that just okay? Because the season was bad? Is that enough?
It reminded me of one of those last seasons that Nene was on Atlanta.
Oh.
And she gave literally nothing. Like, you could get almost, I mean, she was battling with Cynthia and Portia, and I think even Eva, but physically, she was just kind of like, there was something there where it just felt like, I'm just going to give you nothing. And that to me was what Giselle gave in this reunion. I mean, there were obviously moments to me where I felt like she morphed into her final villain form. But as a cast member on this show, I always like to reference as a cast member on this show, because people will think that when we talk about these people as cast members, that we're talking about how they are in real life. We don't know these women in real life. So all we can go on is what we see on the show. So I want to make that very, very clear to people. But as the cast member, like, you've got to start bringing something real to the table, because this thick of, I'm just going to be the messy messenger and I'm going to step back and watch the fireworks fly. It's a slippery slope. And what I mean by that is if that's what you're rewarded for, then you're going to have to keep doing it. And if you keep doing it, the slope gets lower and lower and lower and steeper and steeper. So at a certain point, how low have you gone in order to retain this spot and then otherwise show nothing of your own life, your real life, or whatever that may be? But oftentimes I hear people say, well, a person has no storyline. I hate that term, because to me, it really takes away from something that is actually interesting about a person that has nothing to do with pre-planned events, pre-planned filming things that you're going to showcase for the season. It is what inherently your story, what makes you interesting? What is your story? What is that unique thing that makes you stand out so much from everyone else? And I just don't feel like she has any story left to tell me.
It feels like her storyline for so long has been, you know, being to me a great housewife in how she stirs the pot with some elements of drama on the show. Like, that can be a storyline. Your storyline is like how you are doing with your job, which is being on Real Housewives. Like, that is a thing that she used to do well. I don't think she's done it well for a minute. I think something broke in her during the Monique era that has not been healed. Like, there was just a level of dislike of Monique that seemed to transfer at a certain point to like another member of the cast that we just didn't get a chance to really unpack. And I don't know if that's because, like, with the Candace stuff, she doesn't see Candace as an adult, because Candace is sometimes a little guttural with her reactions to things in a way that can come off as emotionally immature. just in how she's responding sometimes to events. And maybe because Giselle is so non-emotional that it just, she doesn't see any connection to someone who she's so different from. I don't know. It's tough. It feels like in Giselle's mind, to use Candace's words, like the line is always moving and it's so inconsistent when it comes to Giselle that it becomes just kind of frustrating to watch because she says things. The focus is always on the importance of language when other people are using it in a way that Giselle finds like quote unquote dangerous. But then Giselle herself says things. Again, like the Dr. Wendy is equally responsible as Deborah and Candace and Kay, that I'm just like, you had so much time to think about this, unless you're so above it that you don't put in a lot of thought. But that doesn't sound like Giselle to me. And she just says things that are so loaded that are also like at their core meaningless because it's like immediately invalid, but yet she says it. And then it just kind of lies there. And at a certain point, the show moves on with Giselle remaining exactly where she is. Like, I don't know what to do about Potomac, but I know what not to do, which is to keep the cast in the current form that it is. I guess there's like three people left or whatever. Like, I don't know. And I don't know what there is to say about Dr. Wendy, by the way. I don't know that she should necessarily be back. Like, I don't know about her future on the show, but I know that I'm really not vibing with what Giselle is doing. And I think she's doing the franchise a disservice at this point. I think that the franchise is doing a disservice to us. Like, the direction that they're moving in, I genuinely don't know who's left. I think that there are two people with genuine job security at this moment, which could change at any time. Karen Huger and Mia. Everybody else, I'm like, I guess it's just Giselle that we're talking, Giselle, Ashley, and Dr. Wendy. I don't know what to say about any of them, but I do feel like the Giselle issue is going to continue regardless of who's back. If Giselle is still in the cast, and I don't think Bravo would really want to let her go. I just don't see it happening.
Well, I think the main issue with Giselle is that she is not moving her own narrative forward. So you went back to the Monique situation. The thing that I think has worked in Ashley's favor for so long that Giselle hasn't picked up on is because she hasn't had to. No one from the top has held her accountable for this, is that when she says something explosive or she drops this nugget in a confessional or to someone else, and it's super explosive about someone else. When they retaliate, they essentially say something equally as explosive. Once that happens, she is no longer able to move forward with that. And she's not forced to. No one has stopped and made her do that. Conversely, you look at Robin, and I'm going to give it to Robin. You look at Robin and Karen. They've said some of the worst things about each other, but they're still able to interact. Albeit, it a lot of time ends up being combative. Karen was smart enough to say last night, if something were to happen to Robin, like any of you, I would be there for her. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, sure. But she's smart enough to say
like,
it.
Even Robin. She said, even right. Robin. It was like, oh, the train. Oh, the train.
Exactly. Yeah. But she was smart enough to say it. And she's also smart enough to say, I believe that Robin would also save me. Even though I'm thinking to myself, if you were on fire, I think that Robin would roast Marcel. But the point is, even Ashley, you know, and Candace, they've been able to say the craziest things about each other and still manage to come back. And at least when it matters, have fun, get along. And that is something that Giselle has not had to do. Anytime she's dropped something explosive, she did it to Monique. Monique exploded back. She wasn't able to move forward. She wasn't going to be held accountable, so Monique left. She did it to Dr. Wendy.
Dr. Wendy exploded back on her. She never was able to move back with Dr. Wendy.
She wasn't even, it doesn't even seem like he was told to. He did it to Candace. Candace exploded back on her. She completely iced Candace out. And because the other women, I believe, were able to see
the signs,
Giselle will be able to do whatever she wants to do and never be forced to move forward with anybody.
Then that tells me
where my position is within this group. And I am never going to be safe as long as she is never forced to try to move forward with anybody. That's the pattern. That is the pattern. And that is the problem with the show.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's worked in Giselle's favor is that she hasn't had a partner on the show. She had what's-his-face forever ago, the former athlete, and that didn't last terribly long. That was also in, like, the early days. And then Giselle and her ex-husband then pretended to be back together, which was awkward and uncomfortable. But because Giselle either hasn't been in a relationship with anyone or hasn't shared that with us, aside from this, like, Jason thing, which is so stupid, I truly don't care, it's genuinely so dumb. It just is. There's nothing there to talk about. It's like, oh, okay, you're like casually dating this guy, like mazel tov. But she hasn't had anyone who has been essentially vulnerable to the impact of the show. So she's able to go after other people's relationships and marriages because they happen to be one, to be in one. She's not. She doesn't have to put her relationship or marriage on the line because she hasn't had one on the show, and also, it seemingly has not a lot when it comes to like her personal interior life, except for her wonderful, wonderful kids. Like, there's nothing else that she has to put out there to be kind of fucked with. And so she can consistently go after other people because they have spouses, they have partners. And because of the position she's in, she's able to use it to her advantage in a way that just feels really loaded and kind of gross. Because I'm like, okay, you're just going after spouse after spouse after spouse after spouse. And you're doing that because of your own pain, because your husband stepped out on you multiple times and embarrassed you in front of your congregation, or you're doing that because you're just a nasty person, or you're doing that because you feel like that's what's expected of production by production, and then you just started to take it too far. I mean, it's not LOL equitable, but so little on Potomac is. But it's also created this environment where she just has built this track record of doing these things, and there's no pushback because people get tired and they leave. Like, she had it with Juan. She could have done the shit with Juan and Robin in real time. She chose not to. Had she done it with Juan, that at least would have been interesting TV, because she's genuinely friends with Robin, and in addition to that, they're allies. That would have at least been a little bit of a reset of the board, where it's like, okay, well, at least she's consistent with fucking people when it comes to like dragging their shit on camera or making shit up on camera to create some like real mess. She didn't do it because she didn't want to. So what does that say about her when anything else happens? It's like, I have to believe in someone. I have to believe someone a little bit. And I don't believe in anything she does, but I know that there are significant consequences to it.
So there is some inconsistency. So that also leads me to believe that you will do this when you are rewarded with, I just feel like she's been rewarded for doing it to other people, but she had a boundary that she wasn't willing to cross. And I get it. We all have our good friends in life that we want to protect and save. But you're right. Storyline-wise, it would have been much more fascinating had she done it then. Because then, at least, it would have forced Robin to stand on her own and really get into it and have a serious discussion with her best friend about what she does. But again, listen, I don't blame Robin for not wanting to air this out on national television, because I'm sure it's embarrassing. That was never my issue. My issue with Robin has always been that you require this of everyone else. Don't require stuff, this thing from everybody else that you yourself are not willing to give. And then secondly, when you do reveal it, it's behind a Patreon paywall. Listen, I go get your money, but it's like you didn't even have to do that. If you wanted to avoid the humiliation of this whole situation, I would have never said anything at all. Okay. And if Giselle was going to protect you and go down with that ship, then it would have just been y'all's secret. And that would have been it. But I think that Robin effed herself in this whole situation. And I think that looking back on it, Giselle helped her eff herself. Because I would have been like, girl, I have already saved you. I never even brought this up on the show. Why would you talk about it now? But I think that Giselle was probably thinking in her mind at that point, well, this will drive more ratings to the podcast. Everybody's going to be talking about us. I just don't, I personally, as I speak about this, I was thinking to myself earlier, would I cut Giselle if I was the network? And I know that they would probably feel like they were doing themselves harm because she for so long has been the face of the show. That is what happens when you make someone the face of the show. That's what happens. You risk, you jeopardize the show because at a certain point, that cast member will begin to feel like they can do, say whatever they want. Hence, the Vicky Bengelsons of the world proclaiming, this is my show. Or a Teresa insinuating, this is my show. Because then they believe that they are so invaluable that they can do as they please. And then when you take them away, I mean, you run the risk of the ratings tanking because everybody has come to expect that person there. So I don't know what to do about Giselle, honestly, at this point. If no one's going to have a sit down with the cast and say, this can't continue, then I think it's just going to continue.
Yeah, and maybe the network's reaction to that would be like, we're having these sit-downs, they won't listen. But at the end of the day, these people are doing a job. If you don't like their job performance, then there needs to be a change. And I just don't know what lessons are going to be learned to keep Giselle exactly where she is when the production, who, you know, framed the reunion, seemingly did a really unacceptable job of who they were asking questions to. It felt like nobody was in control and nobody wanted to be in control. Nobody wanted to be responsible for the reunion being bad, but everybody assumed it would be, so no one cared. I feel like I saw that from the cast, and I saw that in the questions that Andy was answering, his seeming resignation about all of this, and just like the general vibe. And maybe Giselle is no longer the number one guy in the group. Like, maybe this is the Jackson LVP moment of like, you're no longer the number one guy. Or maybe if she still is, we need to take a real hard look at how we want to define this group moving forward, because she's just so toxic at this point and she just feels tired. Like, maybe she genuinely needs to take a break. Like, I just don't know. I don't want her to be fired. I do actually think she deserves, I know that we use pause and oftentimes it's like sarcastic and ironic. I do actually think that she might need a break, because you made a really, really important point earlier about like the way that we describe these women on the show is often used to paint their behavior on the show as who they are IRL. And the Bravo wants us to do that. They don't want us to feel like this is a performance. It's the friend circle. It's the, like, we break the fourth wall, but usually only at the reunion and frankly sparingly at that. Like, they want us to believe in the universe, but if there's a bubble here, if there's like a hole in the universe and the only way to repair it is to maybe remove someone from it for a little bit, I don't know a way around that unless you want the fourth wall to keep breaking. Because if people feel like her behavior is only happening to stir up drama on the show and she's just not as good at it as she used to be, or her record has just gotten too long that the pattern is unmistakable, you can't work around that, because it's just
that is the current universe. She's done stuff in a certain way. And I really can't say this enough. I'm not anti-Giselle. I really think Giselle has been so important and so influential in the world of Housewives, but that's simply not enough. And I don't have any empathy for her. There's nothing she's sharing with us that would inspire me to understand her behavior or feel LOL bad for her. I don't. The only way I could imagine thinking about that is if I hated Candace enough, and I don't begrudge anybody for feeling that way. I've had my own shit with Candace, which you and I have discussed. Like, the only way I could imagine in my head maybe supporting Giselle and being like, Team Giselle, is if I really hated Candace. But the issue with that is Candace is no longer here. She took herself out of the game. She's having a baby. Mazel tov again to her and Chris. I do love when a moment breaks during recording. That makes me happy and kind of excited. So great for her. Can't wait to not be invited to the baby shower. Hope we see it on something. But with Giselle, I'm like, you're not bringing anything to the table. The only way I could see you bringing something to the table is if I hate the chair. Like, that's the only way that I sort of could imagine a universe in which I felt positive. Because when I think of Giselle, it's like all stuff she's done in the past. It is. She's giving me Pier 1 imports. It's like you're not even like making new stuff now. You're just selling stuff that someone made. And I'm recording on a table from Pier 1 and it's gorgeous. It was from their like fucking Marilyn or Hayworth collection or something. It's a mirror desk and I love it and looks expensive as fuck. So, or to me. So it's like nothing against Pier 1, but this isn't like a custom furniture order. This is just stuff that's done better by other people, maybe newer people, that we're now trying to reproduce in mass form. I've seen enough of it. It's the cost is too high for what we are receiving. It's a bad table. The table's missing a leg. Richie, there's one less leg there.
And the Pier 1 of it all is something I will never forget. Okay. The only way I will like the table is if I hate the chair. That just, I swear to you, I love an amazing analogy and it just sent me down the river. Okay. Not to mention that Pier 1 reference. That was just this. Listen, you said everything and anything that I could have ever said much better. In that statement right there, we have seen it. We don't want it anymore. You're going to have to bring us something new. And I think that's honestly going to be the task. Although I do wonder, you know, how the network was feeling. Did the network know that Candace was expecting? Was that a part of her statement to them, you know, when she gave them her notice? You know, I mean, or was this a surprise revelation that she wanted to make on her own? And I do think it is definitely a very interesting parting shot. Like, you know what, you guys, we're going to let this continue. And so I had to remove myself right when I had something that is going to change my life for the better. To be honest with you, I don't blame her. I think the piece is more important at this point. You know, you can't buy that.
Yeah, and the exclusive about Candace's pregnancy is from friend of the pod, Bryce Sander, with Entertainment Tonight. So folks can read more about her thoughts. She's in about 13 weeks, and she gets into how she's feeling, how the family's feeling. I didn't see in that. I just did an easy breezy beautiful little skim of the piece. I didn't see any kind of like question about filming or anything else, but I also just think they were thinking specifically about focusing on the pregnancy and the announcement and how they envision their family moving forward. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, it's it's such a fucking shit show. I really don't. I wish I felt more positive about what the future of Potomac looked like. I just think this is like some foundational stuff that's probably been percolating for a minute that just hasn't been resolved. And I put a lot of responsibility of that on production, noting that I also understand like you're only able to do what you can with what you have, but then you should really think about what you have. Because if you can't do what you want with what you have, you should change what you have. And like NECA isn't changing anything. That's not going to change Dr. Wendy on the show. If we want to talk about like manufactured stuff, like, listen, I'm not going to begrudge Dr. Wendy's decision to no longer teach because she was emotional and talking about how her kids are growing and she wants to be there for them. And I don't know her workload with the school stuff and everything else. So I can certainly appreciate and respect that decision. But I'm also thinking like, okay, what are we going to have? What's going to feel real if she's back next season? Like, is it that she's saying she didn't know how hard it was to be a talk show host? How did you not know that? What, like, haven't we learned from all of the things you were trying to do, opening a restaurant, everything else? It's like the through line is like, wow, this is harder than I thought. What were you thinking was going to happen? You've had such a successful career doing hard things. Did you think that everything else is easy? I don't know what to do with Dr. Wendy if she's back. But then so much of this is connected to each other that it's like, if Dr. Wendy is back, who's back with her? Again, the only people I think that deserve job security, frankly, are Karen and Mia.
The Wendy thing is interesting to me because, you know, I think what I would have loved to have seen, kind of like what they did with Robin, was, you know, Robin had her hat line. If we're going to see a business endeavor, I would like to see the women be included in that business endeavor. Does that make sense? So, okay, so like, you know, Robin had the little, you know, she had her hat things and all the women did the hats and she did the photo shoots. And so I think if Wendy had done a better job, I can't say Wendy. I'm going to say Wendy and production. They had done a better job of integrating the ladies into candle pop-up shops or, you know, so that we knew only candles, that was still a thing because Wendy had to ask about it at the reunion. If she had maybe filmed a couple of her episodes of her talk show, you know, maybe with Candace or with Karen or, you know, maybe even potentially invited Robin. Not to say that she needed to do this, but I'm just saying found a way to integrate these women into the things that she is doing. I think then it would be more palatable for us as a viewer to then understand why it's so much harder to film a talk show than you realize, or how hard it is to do this candle pop-up shop and then work with some of the ladies, perhaps some type of joint venture with Karen and, you know, how can we do a candle off or something to show that I'm willing to bring these women into this world of my business. And now we have something to work from. But because that hasn't happened, it just feels like an afterthought. Oh, new season, new business. You got to wrap this thing into the story and into the group. And if you don't do that, then, I mean, girl, you had a whole candle fall down at an event during the season. I would have been like, you know what? We're going to turn this into something with my candle line. Like, I don't know how we're going to connect it to, but our next event is going to be something with our candles, Karen. We'll have a candle off. You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking to myself of what I would be thinking, A, as a producer, and B, as a cast member. You know, for me, I have books. Well, guys, you know, I have a new book coming out. I want to do a dramatic reading. And I'm going to invite some of the ladies who I don't actually get along with well and see if they will actually do it so that maybe we can bridge this. I just think that there are plenty of ways that you can bring this cast back together that feel natural, but they have to be willing to do the work. And all of this stonewalling has to stop. I did think that there was a small message being sent to both Giselle and Candace, because in prior seasons, the two people with the most drama, or maybe that would have been Robin, but the two people with the most drama were Candace and Giselle. Candace and Robin. So it seemed to me, truthfully, that they would have had those first teeth. But I think a message was being sent. Guys aren't willing to play ball. You're not going to be where you normally are. I think that was their small way of sending a message to Giselle specifically. That you're not going to perform, then we're going to put Karen where you usually sit. I think that was the message.
1,000%.
But was it received? I don't know. Because she didn't change any of her actions for the better.
1,000%. It's like a child being put in timeout and sulking and being like, well, I'm not going to learn a goddamn thing. I'm just going to be mad. You know, I just... It's unfortunate. I mean, I do just need to, I got into this in a deep dive of part three right after watching it, but I do just need to once again commend and shout out Gordon and Mia for what they shared, because of all of the things to try to guess that reveal of what that reveal would be, I never for a single moment consider that it was anything relating to a health crisis, a mental health crisis. And just in rewatching this episode, and again, something I did not want to do, but sacrificed for this podcast social experiment, it was just really a moment where you saw a lot of like pain and vulnerability and, growth. And it was really, really impactful. It was like maybe the only super impactful special part of the three episode arc. Is that accurate? It's like, I don't want to compare it to anything else because it deserves to stand on its own. It felt like it was a moment that was so much more important than everything else. It deserved, I don't know, something more than the way it was handled, the way it was edited as this other kind of reveal. Looking back, I really thought that was pretty crass, but you know, I guess that's the theme.
I think looking back at it, I definitely wasn't. I'm glad it wasn't. I was thinking it was going to be something physically health-wise that he was going to reveal. It did not occur to me that it was going to be bipolar one. And so at that point, as he began talking about it and explaining things, so much of their story became, it was like putting puzzle pieces together where they were missing before. Because
there was so much, I felt like there were gaps and I didn't quite understand those gaps.
And I'm assuming that that was something that Mia just wasn't telling us, because that is something, I think that's a story for him to tell. And I think that it was pivotal for him to say it and not her, because I think that, again, it's his diagnosis. So again, he explained so much, and the way he and Mia sort of were able to rally with each other, I just felt like it was
definitely the standout moment of the reunion for me.
Don't think I'd ever really seen anything like that from a husband at a reunion. And the way that he showed up for her,
I just thought was really, really awesome. And he took
a hit so gracefully that I could do nothing but respect it. The other shining moment for me was, and the shining moment in that moment to me was how graceful he was in that moment. The other shining moment for me was Kiana. I felt to me like she was the breath of fresh air. She is what the show needs. I think that she is a blueprint for how we move forward in this group. And I just can't say enough about her. She brought everything from the fashions to just, I don't know, she had a grace about her as well, an energy. She was willing to call out Ashley, but not in a nasty way, but just in a very truthful way, that many of the other women don't necessarily always articulate, especially being so new. Yeah, so I think if we're moving forward with this task, we move forward with someone like her. And I think we're looking at, in my opinion, you're looking at a Karen, you're looking at a Mia, you're looking at Kiana, and I don't know.
I honestly completely agree. I think it was a disservice to her, obviously, how this season ended. I cannot imagine how she felt and how embarrassed and nervous she might have felt about how this was going to be discussed, let alone shown on television. And I think she absolutely, it's not even like a type like Kay. I think she absolutely should be back. If she is interested in it, and I understand that she might not be, but if she is interested in it, I absolutely think that there should be a spot for her. And I really enjoyed the limited amount of time that we spent with her. I was just like, oh my God, somebody where it doesn't feel so complicated and I don't feel bad when I'm like watching some of these people like return to the light, Dominic, like return to this world where it's like, we enjoy this. We want to watch it. We don't feel bad when we're watching it or mad or sad. It should not feel like that through all of this. It should not. People can have tough seasons. This was one of the worst seasons to have happened on Housewives, and also one that's super fixable. I think it's going to be complicated, but I don't think that this is how Potomac is going to be defined moving forward. At least it shouldn't be. They've given us some of the very best seasons of any Housewives franchise. So I'm hopeful for them. I'm glad I'm not in the position of whomever is making those choices. I hope they fucking make some, because what they're doing hasn't been working great. But speaking of stuff that's not working great, let's talk about Alexia and Todd, because that came out right before we started recording. So I think it was initially an exclusive by Collider, who announced that Todd had filed for divorce from Alexia. And I'm just looking again, ET Online killing the game, that Todd has filed for divorce after nearly 3 years of marriage. He submitted the divorce papers on April 11th, citing the marriage as irretrievably broken. And, you know, we saw them get married in December of 2021, and it looks like they entered a prenup six days or so before getting married in 2021. Prenup is confidential. And did I say Collider? I meant to say Distractify, LOL. So Distractify was the first to report on the divorce filing, and questions, rumors that Miami is going through some cast adjustments. I hope those rumors were wrong, because that feels like the worst fucking idea that anybody could ever make. Keep this cast as is.
Absolutely. Talk about the complete opposite of what we experienced with Potomac. I mean, the casting is night and day. Alexia and Todd. I think I said to someone else that I saw this coming. I watched it for pure joy. Love. I do not recap it. It harkens me back to the days when I just was a casual viewer of Housewives, casually just enjoying the chaotic lives of these fabulous rich women and their husbands as they traveled and battled over diamonds and rosé. But having said that, I mean, I think I don't know, this is me. Watching this evening and then seeing the way Todd was discussed by not only Alexia, but the other women, led me to believe that there was perhaps trouble in paradise. And I never felt like Alexia did much in the way of really, truly, I don't know. Like, I just felt like I could feel for her that something also was happening that she wasn't really diving into. Like, she was holding some of that back from us. So I'm not surprised. I just don't know what the straw was that broke the camel's back.
I mean, I think that straw was probably connected to a checking account. I'm assuming that, because some of that apartment moving stuff did not make any sense. I'm not going to pretend to be a financial expert. You've seen The Clawfish. But the whole like renting versus buying thing couldn't make heads or tails of that. But like, again, I don't have
access to a lot of assets in that way, aside from my personality. But, you know, with the wealth of information we haven't yet been given, I'm curious for how this will play out. And also, he was like kind of just so much of it was weird. He was obviously embarrassed by how he'd been kind of like mocked on social for his prior like 10-minute long spiel about Dr. Nicole's husband, whose name I just forgot. So I think he probably felt a certain way about the show, and maybe, you know, as many spouses are, initially it's like, oh, this will be fun and we'll be famous. And then you see what is on the other side of that fame, or the cost of that fame. And, you know, it was a star that burned bright. I hope that Alexia's financial situation is in a position where she's able to navigate all of this. And I think about Frankie and his needs. And I hope that they're able to kind of figure this out in a way that enables as much consistency for him as humanly possible. And cameras up immediately. Cameras up right now. You know, Adriana has her iPhone right up now just to get whatever kind of extra footage she can get. She's like running the law, you know, FaceTiming with 3 or 6 members of the cast to get their thoughts. She's probably going to sell it back to Bravo for a healthy number. And God bless her. Miami hot. Fia. F-I-Y-A-H. I don't even remember if there's an H there. It might just be the A. I mean, and I should know, I'm a Sarah with an H. We take those things seriously. I just, surprising, yes. Shocking, I don't know. Poor Robin. Robin got 57 minutes of attention on her and immediately was gone. So, Robin, bye-bye. Robin, she was fired. And Alexia and Todd are breaking up and Candace is having a baby. What a Monday. Oh my fucking God. Richie Sky, you know I love every time you're here. It's been too long because you know I want to record with you every day if I could. Every single day. I just wish for us selfishly that, you know, the next time we record, which again will be tomorrow, that we have something that's like better to discuss than I feel like we've talked about Potomac. I think it deserved to be discussed. And now we can kind of focus on that other bright star in the horizon that's never filled with toxic energy from the cast or the audience, New Jersey, soon upon us. Another easy walk.
I am really going to debate about, like, my initial plan, I'm going to recap. But then I remember what it feels like to read the comments. So I don't know. Jury's out, but I am going to be tuning in. I'm fascinated to see how they try to work this season and how things really kind of shift for a lot of people. So maybe that'll be the more fascinating aspect of it. Do I care that Teresa and Melissa aren't speaking? I don't, because I really don't care for that discourse any longer. But how will that make the cast feel is what I'm afraid of. So,
yeah, I'll definitely come back and shit chat it up with you about that and whatever else we got to talk about.
Also, shout out to America's favorite anti-hero, Louie, for getting a selfie with Taylor Swift this weekend, a moment that took many of us aback. Just a shocking level of access. Thanks to whomever was, and this is not shade, but thanks to whomever was like sponsoring Teresa and Louie's attendance at, what the fuck is it called? Coachella. God, my literal nightmare. Like Burning Man with soap, I guess. I don't know. Not for me, but wish the best for them. And that photo of Teresa and Taylor, just the chill that ran through my body watching that. Cause I just looking at it, cause I just feel like, you know, Taylor doesn't watch any Bravo. And I don't know. I feel like there's a little bit of a separation between church and state that needs to happen with some housewives, or maybe just the Real Housewives of New Jersey and Taylor Swift, where I'm just like, ooh, this feels weird to me. This is another earthquake happening here in New York when we all pulled out our Instagram. But wish them the best. Great access. Terrifying moment. you know, we'll see what happens in Franklin Lakes. We're never going to hear the end of this, by the way. This is going to be the press tour. And good for Teresa. Good for Teresa. Something for her to talk about that feels positive when we forget who she's married to. So shout out to Teresa on that. Listen, there's a lot we didn't discuss in this very quick 2 minute long episode. I do just want to briefly hear about your trip. You just went to Switzerland. You returned a changed man, an adventurer, possibly in seek of your next voyage. Can you tell me a little bit about the choice to go to Switzerland, how you felt, what you discovered while you were there?
Absolutely. So all last year, I kept seeing on Instagram these waterfalls in Switzerland, and I couldn't tell if it was the algorithm following me and then me chasing it or vice versa, but I decided that I had to go see them. And so a friend of mine, she was taking the bar and she had planned a post-bar trip. And she had decided to go to Switzerland. And so I said, I am, thus invited myself. And so it was actually supposed to be a bigger group of us going, and they were going to start in Paris, but I had already been to Paris. So I was like, and I knew I was moving at the same time. So I said, well, I could come on the Switzerland and Italy part of the trip, which was longer anyway. So, Switzerland, to me, I think it was life-changing. I had the best experiences, like breathing in just clean, pure, crisp mountain air, going to the tops of these like Alps and sort of facing some fears of mine, seeing those waterfalls that I had seen on not only screensavers on the television, but also on Instagram to see the exact ones, I think was amazing. We had a guide named Joyce. I will never forget her for the rest of my life, who gave me some awesome advice about, you know, being afraid of doing things that you've never done. And her advice was to just breathe and do it. Just breathe and do it. And that was kind of the message that reverberated with me throughout the trip, and seeing these amazing places. We went from Geneva to Lucerne to Grindelwald to Lucerne and then to Lake Como and then to Milan. I can't tell you how amazing it was. I chronicled the entire trip every single day. I have videos on my personal YouTube channel. It's called Richie Sky in Real Life, where I take you through every single day of that journey. And I was gone for about almost 3 weeks.
Three?
Every day since I've been back. Well, not since I've been back, but just like since I started kind of editing all of the footage, I've been putting out videos of that journey and then recap videos at the end of the night, because I started journaling these little video journals every night just to see what I had learned from the day. And I felt like I just grew leaps and bounds during this whole experience. So my new goal is to make travel a part of my job, a part of my living, my lifestyle. I just want to do more, and I want to take new people with
me. First off, 3 weeks, I am so jealous. And I remember seeing your Lake Como coverage too, that you guys were like at a dinner having a meal or something by the water, and it just looked extraordinary. And I also think, you know, so much of the life of being a content creator, and your scale is like so much bigger, but just for me, like the granular sense is like trying to figure out and sort of stretch out the things that I know I'm supposed to do with things that I just genuinely purely want to do, and like finding that need, and maybe you're able to connect them or maybe not. Like if you're so fortunate, which through you and through your content creation, you're finding a way to show a different aspect of your voice, but something connected to yourself that's like seemingly just really pure and also really vulnerable and excited and like happy, potentially, just to like show like this is something that I do that doesn't have anything to do with Potomac or Miami or Beverly Hills. Like this is something I'm doing for me, but also I'm sharing it with all of you. Like you're still doing the work that you have done so successfully for so long, but you're also kind of like refocusing your own voice, that I think is so incredible. I am genuinely inspired as you are talking for ideas for myself under my next trip, because just travel, I can't, it's such a privilege to be able to travel, but it's also so necessary. And I feel like for anybody, regardless of what you're going through in your life, if you feel like you're in a rut or you're dealing with some complicated things, if you are able to, which again is a privilege of circumstance, of many different aspects, to just take yourself out. It's not hiding from the environment that you're in. It's just expanding your experience, maybe being in it when you're back. It's just, it's so important and can be really clarifying, including in moments where like the trip might not be great. Like that can teach you things about yourself that you can apply to other aspects of your life. Listen, don't even get me started on my Airbnb in Rome, because we can't go there. I just still, it's so like, hit Richie, the fucking,
are you serious?
Yes. The whole time. Do you know how bad shit smells? It's coming through like the floor. It's just, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. But you know what? Then there's Paris and Switzerland, which I now need to visit. Stat. So where can AGs follow you on both of your YouTube channels and elsewhere on social?
You guys can follow me in any news coverage or any lifestyle stuff. You know, you can find that on Instagram at DJ Richie Sky, on YouTube at DJ Richie Sky for news, views, and all that stuff on reality. But if you want to follow my travels, you guys can follow me on YouTube at Richie Sky in real life. And then finally, just last thing, my new book, it's called The Wickedest Wives, Book 2. It's called A Vicious Reality. It will be out on May the 14th. You guys can pre-order it now.
Have you ever thought about doing like a book event with a Bravo Lab? You have so many relationships with Bravo Labs, and it doesn't have to be in person if that's too much to kind of schedule, but to do like a Zoom event?
So I am working on potentially, not really, I'm working on a live event. I'm just kind of putting the pieces together now. It's something I've always wanted to do. I'm just trying to figure out the best method, and I think I've developed a partnership that will allow me to do it with potential sponsors. So that's kind of the next step. So that's the goal. That's what we're praying for.
Oh my God, I would love it. And please come to New York. Like, do a live tour. You need to come, Stat. That would be incredible. And if you want any venue ideas, I have a couple that I think would be great, one in particular. So I'll talk to you about that offline. In the meantime, guys, you can follow me on Instagram and allegedly Threads at Dame Galley. Sign up for the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes like that two-part, two-hour Satchel Spectacular, where I unpack your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Vanderpump Rules. Lala, Katie, Ariana, Sheena, LOL Tom, and so much more at patreon.com/andysgirls. Richie Sky, thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.